Fellow Freedom fans back. David Allen Carmichael here, just as Bethany said, here on the Faith and Freedom Show on the Eagle 104.3 FM. As I was saying in our previous segment, I go to news on the other parts of the world because I think that sometimes there are things in the news that are necessary to be reported here in America, but aren't being reported here in America. Just last summer was a beautiful example. Somebody was working a deal with Gaddafi. And I don't know if you don't remember what happened in the 80s. Gaddafi was the terrorist supporter back then. And there was a bombing of a 747 in Lockerbie, Scotland that killed everybody. It turned out when they followed some communications back, and there was some U.S. stations that can pick that kind of thing up, it turns out that they had some information about somebody communicating from Libya to somebody in Europe, and there was and they had to do with the plans of this terrorist attack. Well, they traced it back, and they basically figured out what was going on. And at the time, I think Gaddafi was trying to build a nuclear power plant and was going to pursue getting access to nuclear weapons, things like that. So I think one of the things that Reagan did at the time is he bombed this nuclear power plant. And the terrorist activity that happened, they went in and they bombed the military establishments that Gaddafi had there in Libya. And one of the places where a bomb landed happened to be a courtyard right outside the bedroom of Mr. Gaddafi. So it blew up the windows. There are photos, all kind of debris over his bed and everything like that. It happened in the middle of the night. Of course, he complained that the United States was trying to assassinate him. The United States told him that it was a bomb. That bomb blew outside his courtyard because it did not hit its target. It's basically a renegade bomb that landed in the wrong place. That has two meanings. It has a meaning that it could mean that, oh, they were aiming for some place completely different, and this was a defective bomb that just coincidentally happened to land in the courtyard. Or it could imply that, well, your bedroom on the second story of this building had a picture frame window, and our little laser guidance system bounced off of it and scattered in the patio. And of course, that's where the bomb went instead of your bedroom window. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not a technician. I don't know these things. I just, you know, those are the kind of things that kind of statement could imply. But what happened was that show of force caused Mr. Gaddafi to just shut up. To shut down, to stop sponsoring terrorism and stop cajoling terrorists and things like that. So we had a lot of quiet from Mr. Gaddafi. There were some things that he was not able to engage in economically, and it was a very effective way of shutting down Libya. It turns out last summer, though, now you see that's how you deal with terrorists. You shut them down. You don't make deals with the terrorists, right? Well, just last summer, it turned out the United States made a deal. They decided to pay those people injured by the bombings of the retaliation. Was a military action. And Libya agreed to pay the families of the terrorists if the United States would basically open up relationship with Libya again. But see, that's making a deal, isn't it? I wonder what kind of deal, and that what was troubling about that. It wasn't in the U.S. news agencies. It was being reported overseas by other news reports. I go to India newspapers and Australia, New Zealand, Japan. I've been to Japanese newspapers in different places in the earth to figure out what they're reporting about the United States. And that's how I discovered it. So it was very important. It was a policy issue, very important policy issue thing that was going on. And it wasn't in the U.S. news. Right in the middle of our terrorist war, this was going on. What are they going to do in Iraq? Are they going to go back? And there's some troubling things that folks have been doing in Iraq. I think there's a lot of good things that folks have been doing in Iraq, but then there's also some renegades that happen to have been on the company dime that are themselves terrorizing people because they get a gun in their hands. They got a little bit of training, and it just so happens that they're a little bit dysfunctional in their mind and are carrying out wrong activities. So those kind of things happen too in these crazy warlike situations. What are they going to do with Iran in 20 years? I don't know. If they're going to pay off Libya, I mean, family members of military people, where their military guys were killed in these attacks by the American armed forces, and then have Libya pay, you know, the victims? Are they going to get Iraq to pay the victims? I don't know. And then have, see, those, that was, that's the kind of stuff that comes up, and it's under the radar. It's significant news. It's significant item, and you're not seeing it reported. So that's kind of troubling. There's something that came out in New Zealand Herald. New Zealand Herald has been reporting things with some U.S. sources. This article I'm going to tell you about right now is from the Associated Press, but it was reported tomorrow. In fact, just a couple hours ago. It is now tomorrow in New Zealand. And it says, court in a prison plan, a court, having a court in a prison, sort of like a Taco Bell in the KFC restaurant. Court in a prison plan for detainees. So this is what's in the news. Again, you're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. I'm David Allen Carmichael. The number here is 888-850-1872. Talking about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. I'm challenging your brain here with this. What is the constitutional take on this detainee issue? What is the constitutional take on it? What should America do? Do you really know the details of how some of these guys came into being into the prisons in Guantanamo Bay? Some of them happened to be making war on the United States that were participating in terrorism, or when the United States started going into Afghanistan to try to find some of these guys they knew were there, then folks were making war on them. So, there, you know, it depends on the situation. Were they defending themselves, or were they just partnering with the terrorists to use a nice close opportunity to attack an American? So, you know, there's some details about this, but there was a battle between Taliban and the U.S. allied forces and things like that, NATO groups in Afghanistan. And so some of the people that were captured and taken to Guantanamo Bay were people that were actively engaging and attacking Americans. And they happen to be people, it's not like a war against the country. They're in Afghanistan, but they weren't necessarily soldiers in an official army. It's not like you could go to war with after World War II, you went to war with Germany, you had German prisoners of war, and they were under a trained armed force that actually had some rules of warfare and things like that. When the peace treaty came, when the certain forces won and the other ones lost, these guys got sent home and, in fact, in many cases, made friends with those who they were fighting all these years. Well, that's not the case here. You've got people that are attacking Americans. And if the Americans weren't there, they were busy attacking their own folks of a different ethnic group. They were attacking them. They were doing suicide bombings, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But in this particular thing, they're attacking Americans and those who at the time were in the government influencing and had control over the government in Afghanistan. So they're doing this attack. America captured them, and I guess they were taking back people to Guantanamo Bay who had a affiliation with terrorist groups. You know, I don't know if they weren't just recruited out of the neighborhood to cause trouble that week or something like that, but they supposedly had some kind of associations. They didn't take everybody back. There were thousands of guys in this battle, but they didn't only took a few people back to Guantanamo Bay. So in some of these cases, they were people that were busy using weapons and attacking people. So what do you do with these folks when you take them to Guantanamo Bay? And are they a prisoner of war? They're not really working for somebody. They actually might be just a kind of a hoodlum, criminal, drug dealing, opium cartel gunman. And what do you do about that? Now you got them in Guantanamo Bay. You know, if you let them go, they have a lifestyle of just murder. That's what they do. That's what they're going to do. They're not going to go back and work at the post office in their country or something like that. They're actually going to go back and partner most likely with other hoodlums. Now, there's not a lot of them like that they've got. But what do they do about that? Their number is 888-850-1872. 888-850-1872. On the other hand, you've got people that got gathered up And some of them, there's one group called the Uyghurs that were a group out of China that were, they're actually renegades in China. They're fighting against the Chinese government. And it turns out there's this hostility going between the Chinese government and Han Chinese that are in the beginning to encroach upon the area of China that is normally would have Uyghurs and the group of a Turkic people that are there. And so there's these two cultures that are starting to collide. And the main Chinese national government is obviously more partnered with the Han Chinese rather than the ethnic Turkic Chinese. So there's this group there that were, I guess, going to Afghanistan to get military training, militant training, I guess you would call it. Now, they have, in fact, they may even be friendly to the United States. They may be. And, you know, depending on their bent or whatever. But they were in this little Afghan group, this Taliban group, getting kind of little militia training or something like that. So they get hauled off to Guantanamo Bay. Now, what do? You know, they can't send them back to China because they're going to have their self put in prison and have their organs sold to the highest bidder that comes in that week looking for it. So, and they, you know what I mean? In fact, if they send them back, they may have the families may get tortured because of these guys. There's all, you know, it's almost like, well, these guys almost need asylum, but then again, they weren't behaving too good. So what do you do with that group? And so now they're trying to figure out what to do with the Uyghurs. Where do you put the Uyghurs? Is there anybody out there on the planet who would love to house some Uyghurs? Maybe we can get, you know, somebody get their family out of China or something. So there's these weird situations that have come up. And some people say, because of we've got to protect our country, we've got to worry about our national security, let's not extend the Constitution to those who we capture. That is an intriguing question. What do you think about that? 888-850-1872. 888-850-1872. Should they be given constitutional protections? What does the Constitution say about cases of war? Is it truly war? What is the history about that? So we're going to be talking about that a little bit. I think it's an important discussion because, as I said, we come back after the break. I'll be reading the details of this article that came out by the Associated Press, but out of the New Zealand Herald tomorrow, just a few hours ago. And it's just now, within the last couple hours, shown up in a news article reported by the Chicago Herald. So this is an interesting case where they're going to have a court inside a prison. So how do you give these guys some kind of due process to figure out what you're going to do with some of them? Some of them, they don't want to give them any due process. They just want to keep them indefinitely because there's a possibility that they could be basically exonerated under the rules of evidence that you have in due process. Then what do you do with them? Once they go to court and the court takes jurisdiction of them, guess what? They can be freed. So that's where that issue of habeas corpus comes in, and where they had people locked in the Tower of London for certain periods of time and habeas corpus had been suspended. So we'll talk about that and see what that means because it's going to come right out of the U.S. Constitution. So here's our number, 888-850-1872. You're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM. David Allen Carmichael, my Faith and Freedom Show. I talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and a basis of right versus wrong. We want to make sure that the decisions that we make when we look at the issue of the day, that there's a solid reference. And we don't just look at things pragmatically. In fact, if you watch Congress right now, you know what error they're making? Discussing how much it'll cost as if that is the key point. Once you're getting about how much it's going to cost, folks, I think you've lost the argument. You're in trouble if they're dealing over it. I mean, you can plead how much it'll cost and to make some political power persuasion. But folks, when we're getting in that discussion, that means we've sold our soul to doing those things which aren't necessarily right. Hey, we'll return. Stay tuned.